Welcome into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. This week brought to you by the Marriott St. Louis Grand, as if you followed Tara and I on Twitter, you well know. the St. Louis Marriott St. Louis Grand and their Grand Slam weekend package of a hotel and Cardinal tickets is a wonderful package. I think Tara and I would both agree with that. That we had a lot of fun with. You get a good room. You get, we assume, a goodie bag. We got a goodie bag. We assume you do too. And very reasonable, very solid tickets to a game. So if you are in that market for a weekend out with St. Louis to with the Cardinals as a focus, check out the Marriott St. Louis Grand and their Grand Slam package. You'll find them on Twitter at Marriott St. Louis or search the hashtag Hello Marriott STL. However, as my co-host Tara Wellman noted, Grand Slams are not actually guaranteed in this package. It was very disappointing to go to the game and not see a Grand Slam because, Tara, we saw three Grand Slams this week. We saw a lot of wins, and while the Cardinals dropped today's game, an 8-game winning streak puts them, and I think most of Cardinal Nation, kind of back in that mindset of this is a race versus riding this season off as where we were, well, probably even last Sunday.
Yeah, I think our theme last Sunday was, I just don't know. I feel like that's still relevant with this team because as I was conversing with some people on Twitter today, I think we'll know more this time next week because it's one thing to go on a streak. It's another thing to have that streak end and then regain your footing right away. I feel like it's been fun to watch this team play with just a completely different mindset, a completely different confidence, and to see the results of that so quickly. But I think it will be much more telling to see how they respond in Boston after losing the last game of the homestand, after having the tying run in scoring position and not coming through for the first time, and it seems like, but as far as I can remember, well, not really. I remember a lot of times they didn't come through. But you know, recent memory. Since the players only meeting and since the rally cat happened and since all of the magic seemed to suddenly be back in St. Louis. So to see them come off of what I think is a reasonably disappointing loss today after the way things were going. And then to head to Boston where, baseball has not been particularly kind to the Cardinals. And hope that they can really just set this aside as any good team does one individual loss and get right back up to where they pick up where they left off after that 8th win in a row.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see what they do because, I mean, this is a tough week for the Cardinals coming up. Boston is a team, you know, obviously leading their division. And then you've got the Pirates who, while floundering a little bit under, you know, they're under 500, they're still only 3 games behind the Cardinals and can easily, I mean, they've always played the Cardinals as of late kind of tough. So what do they do with this week? I mean, if they come out of it with a 3-3 split, you know, is that good enough? Do we need to see more than that? I don't know, but you're right. If they come out and look flat against Boston and Pittsburgh, then this nice little week of, you know, wins and rally cats kind of fades into the background after a while. There will probably be no rings with a cat on them this year, unlike 2011. But, you know, if they're able to, you know, split that 2-game series with Boston and win 3 out of 4 with Pittsburgh, then, hey, you know, who knows? Maybe we'll see. Maybe we can believe that this turnaround is accurate. Now, you referenced it, and we'll talk a little bit about this. There was a players-only meeting in Cincinnati before the Cincinnati series. They went out, they had dinner, and apparently really got into it. It would have been a very interesting time to be sitting at the next table, assuming, you know, Tommy Pham didn't throw at something at you or, you know, get you if you were starting to listen. And the guys apparently really finally got on the same page, a page that they've not been on this year. Is the veterans of Molina and Wainwright kind of, I don't want to say laid down the law, but really kind of pulled the Chris Carpenter and got people going. You know, how important was that, and how lasting is it going to be?
Well, I think this last week is evidence of the immediate impact that it had, not just because of the wins, but I think you've seen, I mean, if you've had a chance to watch the games and notice more than just the final score, you see a difference in the guys in the dugout. You see a difference in the way that they react to each other when good things happen. You see a difference in the confidence and in the attitude and in the intensity, which is something that we've been begging for all season, just to show a little life out there. And I think that that's finally what we've seen. That's finally what's made these games. Yeah, winning is fun. And we kind of talked about this while we were in St. Louis. You know, does the winning then result in better attitudes, or does the, whatever this meeting was in its entirety, does that change in the attitude and the focus and the chemistry then result in more wins? I don't know that you can ever really confirm which way that works best, but whatever it is, I think that it's very evident. It's evident in the post-game interviews. It's evident in, like I said, the way guys are reacting to each other in the dugout. I know that there's been a lot made about this togetherness gesture that they're doing, which is fine, but it's more than just that gesture. It's an overall, I don't know, I keep saying intensity, but there's just so much more of a focus on just doing the little things and not necessarily every guy trying to make the difference himself. So if that's the result of this meeting, then I think it has the potential to be very long lasting. I think, as we said, the truth will be seen in how they react after a loss, because it's very easy to keep doing the same thing after you've won several games in a row. But when you hit the first speed bump, you know, does that derail the whole thing? So I thought it was very interesting to hear some of those comments that came from Adam Wainwright, particularly saying that, you know, they left that room feeling more confident than they have in years, not just this season. So it seems like there were some deep-rooted issues, perhaps some of the things that we have all speculated about this season, that came to light, and guys were willing to talk about them and confront some of those things and get to a point where they felt like they were all on the same page, which is not something we've seen out of the last couple of years. So if nothing else, I think that they're all going to be much better positioned to make a run at the division, even if it doesn't end up working out in their favor.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I take out of this week is, you know, yes, they lost today. Yes, they fell back into second place. But at a game out and playing more inspired ball, it feels like they're going to be in that race for a while.
Right.
They were really on the edges of falling out of it. It was like, you know, and let's be fair, the Cubs kind of let them back into this too. I mean, you know, they could have
played
much better this last week, and they didn't, and that's great. We were like that. Let's keep that up, Cubs. but still, I mean, just that was kind of the break they needed to get into this race, to get recharged, and see what they can do. And again, you know, I'm not saying that next Sunday they're going to be three games up. They very well may be still in second place. Could be in third. The Brewers are right still there, too. But it feels like they're going to be there between now and September. They're going to be there.
I almost said this in response to some of the some of the angst on Twitter today after the loss. But quite honestly, where they are in the standings today means far less to me than the baseball they've played this week. Mm-hmm. Because any team in any division that's a game back or two games back or even three games back at this part of the season is absolutely in the conversation and in the race. But what's been hard that weird dynamic with this team is that, yeah, they were close, but they still weren't playing well. They were only close because the teams ahead of them were also not playing well. But I think for the first time this season, the last 8 or 9 days, I feel like this is a team that if they play the way that they have in the last week, and I'm not saying that they need to win 8 games at a time. I'm not saying they need to go 8-1 every 9 games. If they do, I won't complain. But watching them play the way that they did this week, the results were great. And the fact that they were able to pull into a tie for first place, even if it was only for one night, that's great. But my takeaway from this week is less about where they are in the standings tonight and more about how they played this week. That's why, to me, it's more important to see what they do on Tuesday and on Wednesday than this one individual game, because the standings are going to fluctuate every single day from now until the end of the season. So to panic over one day or one loss or being a game back instead of tied for first or instead of, you know, whatever, that's going to get old real fast. But watching them play inspired baseball makes me less concerned about those standings on a day-to-day basis and able to look at kind of this long-term picture of, well, they're back in the race, so where do they need to be a week from now?
Yeah, it's... You're right. They can't win every game, but if they're competitive in every game, that's more than we saw for a lot of the season.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, having that ability, and again, the Cardinals, even at their worst this year, have played competitively with the Cubs, you know, when they're head to head. And so, when you think about the fact that they have 7 games left, they have 4 of those in Busch. Where right now they're 8 games over, you know, that does give you a lot of control of your own destiny if you're the Cardinals. So that's a nice thing. And I think the bigger thing, I think one of the real things, it kind of seems silly, but I think it's that idea that, you know, right now they're 4 games over 500. You know, last week they were 4 games under 500, or basically,
right.
You know, getting over that 500 hump and getting a little bit of space between it made you say, or allowed you to say, that this team is a good team. Because, no, you know, when they were 2 games out, when they were under 500, it's like, yeah, they're close in the division, but are they really worth it? I mean, are they
right.
a good team?
Right.
And so now that you can say with some confidence, this is a good team. It's not a great team. It's not necessarily a division-winning team, but it's a good team. I mean, they win more than they lose now. I think that helps the psyche, if nothing
mm-hmm.
else. And you're right. Not only seeing the baseball they've played, but the fact that they've rallied at times, they've been able to get pretty good pitching for the most part. The bullpen hasn't melted down except for Mr. Cecil. Which we saw,
and they still won that game. So
they did still win that game. you could argue that it could have been a little bit more of a breather if he had been taken out of batter first earlier. But and I think that's, we'll go back to that because I would want to mention that a minute ago when you were talking about the meeting, and it's something you referenced earlier as well, is this was a players only meeting,
mm-hmm.
and that's not necessarily a big deal because so often these things are players only meetings, whatever team has these things. The players want to be able to talk about amongst themselves and not have a guy that may or may not have played, depending on what the team is. You know, it's their boss, and they don't want them necessarily there while they're discussing it. But there also may be some issues with that boss. And so you were pointing out that the players have come out of that meeting on one party line, and Mike Matheny seems to be still on the old playbook when it comes to referencing these wins to the media. Let's discuss that a little bit, and then why is that, I guess?
Yeah, well, before I even knew that this players-only meeting happened, I had started to notice a very distinct line of conversation that was present in one form or another in all of the post-game interviews since the streak started, which now dates back to just after that players' meeting, as we now know. But there was this very distinct focus in a lot of these interviews where guys were saying things like, "We're really just playing for each other now," or "We really want to win for the guy next to us," or "Guys are just out there doing whatever they have to do to help the team win," or "There are guys out there who, you know, we're all just focused on helping the team win and on not on individual success." That kind of thing has been the primary focus, I would say, of most, if not all, of the post-game interviews in the last 8 or 9 days, which now seems to make perfect sense coming out of that meeting, with the focus on unity and on playing together and playing for each other. And, you know, when you hear comments about that meeting, like guys poured their hearts out or guys who don't normally speak up, you know, kind of made their case or whatever it might be, it makes sense that there's some base level of just understanding each other and seeing where other guys are coming from and maybe working past some of those either real or perceived barriers that we've even talked about, whether it's between players or between the management and the players. So it was very interesting to hear that line of thought in answers to questions like, what's been the difference this week? Mm-hmm. You know, they're answering, well, we're just playing for each other now, that kind of thing. Meanwhile, in the manager post-game presser, you're getting the standard, well, guys are just hitting, or we're coming up with the big hit, or we knew it would happen eventually, or the bullpen's been better. So there's a very clear line between what the players are saying now and what Mike Matheny is saying. And I'm not saying that necessarily to suggest that Mike is willingly ignorant of what the players discussed at this meeting, but just that it's very clear to me that he was not a part of this team unity thing that happened between the players. And, you know, to some level, you kind of wonder if with the issues that have been made public between some players and the management and things that we hear and things that guys say, and, you know, if there was some level of, look, we're going to do this, we're going to play for each other, and we're not going to worry about what Mike thinks. But that's obviously a massive assumption based on kind of what the difference is in those conversations. And real or not, I don't think that's as significant as noting that the players have, to some extent, like John Mozeliak suggested a couple weeks ago, looked themselves in the mirror and decided to do this on their own terms, no matter what Mike Matheny did or didn't do.
Yeah, and I don't want to style that as a criticism of Matheny. I mean, it can be.
Right, yes.
It can be.
Not my intent.
Right, but, you know.
It could be, but I don't really want to go there.
But it's also, I mean, you also can say, if you want to look at it in a more charitable light, that Mike let the guys go out, they figured it out, and he's kind of staying out of the way. I mean,
yeah,
maybe he's not. Maybe they didn't give him the talking points that they gave everybody else, but he's not necessarily, you know, getting into the mix of this. It's like a little bit more hands-off, a little bit more let them take the responsibility of it, and that's right. Fair. And that's a reasonable take on that. You could also say Mike Matheny's completely out of touch, and the players have to do it all themselves. and that's probably a little less reasonable take, but... still possible, so I don't know. And I think that really this whole week, and I don't remember if you and I talked about this in our Periscope, which if you did not watch our Periscope from Friday night, go find it on Tara's Twitter, because it was as great as anything that you'll ever watch. I mean, that's okay, maybe that's overselling it a little bit, but we did have fun with that.
Yes.
To have a show that where we were actually in the same shot, even. It was a lot of fun. But
I think
anyway.
It was a little shocking for some people initially, but they recovered and were able to enjoy.
Yeah, they finally just blocked out my side and looked at you and listened to me, and it was like a weird bird seats or something. But anyway, so we may have talked about it in this. It may be when I talked to Alan last night on Meet Me at Mutual. It may have been somewhere else in this whole mix. But this week has this week, maybe that's the way we should phrase this, has this week changed the off-season plans of the Cardinals? A week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, Michael Gersh is saying, 60% of the 40-man roster may not be back next year. There was a real sense that Mike Matheny might be part of that churn, at least from the fans' point of view. A lot of things were set up so that when this season finally came to its thankful close and this team had stumbled through the finish line, some real work could be done, cutting deadwood and reshaping this roster. Now this team is back in playoff contention. They're playing better. And again, there's a long way to go. I mean, we don't know if this is going to stick, but assuming they play well enough to at least be, in contention, say, the last week of the season, or perhaps even takes the division title, does this change things for the front office? Should it change things for the front office?
To backtrack just a little bit to kind of tag that Mike Matheny conversation and then lead back into this. I want to be very clear. I've been far more critical of Mike Matheny this season than I ever have before. And part of that is that I've really just wanted Mike Matheny to be good because I wanted to be a fan of Mike Matheny, the manager, like I was of Mike Matheny, the player. I've wanted him to show improvement and to figure it out and to be a success story even after coming off of some challenges and having to learn on the fly in so many instances. This last week, though he wasn't in the players' meeting, and even though he's clearly missed some of the memos as far as how they're talking about things these days, I've seen so much more emotion out of Mike Matheny. I've seen him joking around more with the players. I've seen him more relaxed in the post-game pressers. And I think that winning does a lot of that, relieves a lot of the pressure. But I think that there's still, after this week, a little glimmer of hope left for me that maybe he's learned from this season, too. As far as how that impacts the offseason, I think to a large extent, anything that may or may not change from what was said 2 weeks ago is very much still to be determined. I don't think anything should have changed after 8 games. I think that if they turn this 8-1 week into a second winning week that turns into a third winning week, you start to maybe look at what it was that made the change, because the fact is this roster is still a collection of kind of mismatched pieces. You still have a lot of duplicates in the outfield in particular. You still have to figure out how you're going to get a power hitter in the middle of your lineup. And are we really buying into Paul DeJong as that guy right now? Because I don't know that that's really the most reasonable assessment after the short time he's been there. I mean, we saw what happened when they tried to do that with Diaz after last season, or with Grichuk after however many years they've thought he was going to be that guy. But you still have guys like Grichuk. You still have a bullpen that, while it's been better as of late, I don't know that it's really the collection of guys you want to assume are going to sustain that going forward. So even if they were to win the division by some miracle, I think you still have to take a very hard look at the combination of pieces that this team has, because, you know, sometimes a motley crew can put together an impressive run. I don't know that it's a sustainable collection of players to do more than just barely scrape by and win the division in the next couple of years. So I think it all kind of hinges on what the front office really wants to do moving forward. And this is where we come back to the same thing we've said all season. They still kind of need to pick a direction. You know, it's one thing to try to win with homegrown talent and make guys into players that can play multiple positions so that you don't have to go out and find a guy for a specific role. But that's sort of gotten them in this predicament in the first place. If the Cubs are what the Cubs should be, we're still not talking about the Cardinals potentially winning the division with this roster. So whether it's the roster or whether it's Mike Matheny, I think what happens in the next 40 games or so is going to be very telling, but I don't think it should eliminate the busyness of the offseason, at least not without some really serious analysis of who these guys can be moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if something weird happened and this team won a World Series, then yeah, that's it makes it more difficult for John Mozeliak to go and Michael Gersh to go out and have this roster churn that they want to do from a fan's point of view, because it's just like, why are you breaking up this team that just won the World Series?
Right.
Not, I mean, these are the same fans now, grant you, that, you know, 2 weeks ago said, get rid of everybody. But still, you know, fans tend to change their minds occasionally. But it still probably needs to be done. And I think Derek Gould put something out on Twitter at one time and kind of said, you know, the next 2 months will matter, but so will the first 4 months. You know, and they're going to factor in the fact that, you know, this just didn't work. Now, you know, if they go on this massive run, then, you know, maybe they come together and say, look, it really was more of a focus thing. It was more of a, you know, of a mental thing than the actual talent that they have. And, you know, maybe that affects how they look at the changes. But I think that's going to be kind of interesting to see. But, again, that's a long way off. I think everybody starts talking playoff rotations when the Cardinals get within that range. And that's fair. But they're still, you know, we're still not 100% sure that this is going to hold or if this was just – I mean, remember, folks, they had a 7-0 road trip back in May and got into first place, and everybody thought everything was great, and Magnieri Sierra was the next coming of Vince Coleman and all that, and then not. So, you know, things, you know, we're not, this is not even guaranteeing a positive, you know, above 500 finish for this team. We don't know that.
Yeah.
But it's definitely much more interesting than it was 8 games ago or 9 games ago. So a couple of small things before we wrap it up for the evening. Jed Jerko dealing with some knee injuries. I thought it was very interesting to see how often Greg Garcia was playing third base of late. I guess I'm glad to know that it wasn't just because Jed Jerko wasn't hitting very much. It was an actual medical problem. I don't know how long he's had this medical problem. I would not venture a guess given Cardinal medical history. I mean, how long can we wait on Jed Jerko, I guess, is what it is. Although, you know, and if he's hurt, what do you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it does give a little bit of clarity to maybe why he's kind of fallen off the cliff as quickly as he did. I think someone made an interesting point today. You know, how long do you mess with Garcia before you go out and bring Aledmys Diaz back? Mm-hmm. If it's a situation where it's going to be 8-9 games without Jerko, you've got to DL him and not just play short and hope that maybe day to day he can play one game and then not play for 4 more days. We've seen them do that, and it's not particularly effective. So, you know, if it's a situation where he's going to miss most of this road trip, then it doesn't make any sense to not bring someone up. I don't know that Greg Garcia is a good long-term answer. We've had this question about him before, and I've been amused how quickly in the last 2 years people will go from Colton Wong is struggling, Greg Garcia should be starting every day, to Greg Garcia is terrible, he shouldn't be starting every day. You know, I think there are some guys who are that Daniel Descalso type, who maybe aren't the starting infielder, but they can come in and fill in a hole when they need to. I think watching Greg Garcia bat today with the bases loaded and the tying run at second base made me really wish there was another option. I don't know that he's a huge threat in that situation, although, you know, he has had some very quality at-bats over the course of his time in the role that he's played. I don't know that you want him in that spot consistently. So I don't quite know how long you should wait if it's a matter of Jerko not playing in Boston or if it's a matter of Jerko not playing on the road trip. I think there's a pretty distinct difference in how you would go about making that decision.
And from what I understand, and of course, the team hopes Jerko will be able to play on Tuesday after 2 days off, you know, Saturday, Sunday, and then the day off tomorrow, so he'll have 3 days of rest. The hope is he'll be ready to go on Tuesday. I would say if he's not, there is probably about time to start thinking about something, because you can only backdate a guy for like 3 days now with a 10-day DL. And with a 10-day DL, you need to get that extra bat in there. I mean, you're already playing short. You might as well do it. Now, is Alamedes Diaz the answer? That's a good question, because as of late, Diaz is kind of slumping again, hitting 188 over his last 10 games in Memphis. And as I pointed out with Alan last night, Diaz has only walked four times in 107, well, I guess it'd be 111 plate appearances. You know, that would seem to be the biggest thing Diaz needed to do, was go down and figure out how to get his batting eye back. And so far, that hasn't happened. I don't think that they, I mean, I figure if they had a DL move, that's what they would do, especially since they just moved him over to third base for the last couple of nights. And they can't get, I don't think they want to do the 40-man roster juggle that it would take to get Patrick Wisdom up. But I don't know that I don't know, sadly, right now, if that's any better than having Greg Garcia out there. and that's a tough place to be. But hopefully it's a moot point. And finally, I think we really have to spend a little bit of time on this. This Cardinal team has gone all in on the rally cap. I mean, look,
just wait till bird seeds tomorrow. That's all I'm saying.
as noted, Tara was gonna camp out for her rally cat T-shirt, and it just didn't work out, unfortunately. So I assume you've already found it online and ordered it.
I may be in the process of ordering it right now. just went live on the website, so I may have obsessively been checking that, and then I just got a Twitter message that said, you should probably check the website again. So I may be on the 108 Stitches site right now, trying to decide which size to order.
You know, we started this show a little late because Tara said something about Skype acting up, but I think it was just the fact she kept refreshing the site, trying to make
sure. My computer was frozen from the repetitive refresh. I'm sure I'll explain this on my show tomorrow, but just to clarify, I kind of started this as a joke with the whole Rally Cat t-shirt thing. That I said when we were on our way downtown on Friday, I said, if there's not a booth that's selling Rally Cat t-shirts, I'm going to be very upset. And if there is one, I will buy it on the spot. Turns out there was one single store in Ballpark Village that had Rally Cat t-shirts, but when I went in on Saturday and spoke to the girl that was selling these shirts, she said they only had them for about an hour. and then they were gone. So, I tried to stick around as late as I could on Saturday before I had to head out of town, and I missed the delivery by about 2 hours. But they had a list where people were reserving shirts all throughout the day. So I'm not sure how long that shipment lasted either, but Cardinals fans, we love our rally animals.
This is true. This is true. And I found a different shirt in a different place, and almost bought it, but didn't quite. But then the Cardinals now have a September 10th game, a Rally right. Cat Appreciation Game, which is either going to be really great or really, really dated by that.
Yeah.
Game. So that's.
I was a little confused about why it was so far into the future, because as much as I'm loving this Rally Cat thing, it could be over and done with very quickly. I mean, I think the reason the Rally Squirrel was such a thing is because of the postseason implications, not just a random game in August. But you know what? Hey, I'm write it out. That at least in this case, the Rally Cat itself is still. Someone still has it. It's not like you could catch the Rally Squirrel and take it with you.
Absolutely.
So, you know, they have that advantage. So I guess it could still work out.
Well, we will find out. But never let it be said the Cardinals, you know, can't enjoy some sort of internet meme. So anyway, Tara and I will be with you next week and hopefully talking about it. Again, finally, we did talk about a good week of Cardinal baseball. Let's see if they can do it yet again. So for Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.